Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown. He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary.
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it. They do. Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Climbs the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes. Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure. Brady's chased. Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone. A jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now, here's your host, Lance Meadow.
And this is Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. So glad you could join us. Lance Meadow here with you for the next 30 minutes. It's good to be back on Giants.com as the start of training camp fast approaching. The Giants will get set for the upcoming season beginning this Friday. We are taking your phone calls and your comments all throughout the course of the next 30 minutes. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. You can chime in on the conversation on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. You could also interact and follow me at Lance Meadow, one word, last name M-E-D-O-W. As I mentioned, it's good to be back, and let's get right into it. What I want to focus today on is pretty much the battles that we can expect in the coming weeks at training camp, and if you have any questions or comments regarding any of the positions or players that you think need to emerge over the next couple of weeks, certainly feel free to chime in on the conversation. But a very interesting article put up on Giants.com outlining the five key battles to keep close tabs on throughout the course of training camp, and the linebacker spot, which has been a position of debate, not just coming into this season, but in seasons past, because there are a lot of players in the mix, and it has been a position where the Giants are still really searching for an impact-type player. Who is going to be that middle linebacker this season? Who is going to make their presence felt right out of camp and make the transition into the regular season? It's been a position that has been plagued by injuries over the last couple of seasons. It's been a position that a lot of Giants fans have been calling for the front office to invest in an early round pick. And the Giants haven't done that since the days of Carl Banks, and they certainly didn't do that this season. But that doesn't mean that the Giants can't get production out of that unit. When it comes to the middle linebacker spot, you're looking at Mark Herzlich and you're looking at Dan Connor. Connor's a veteran guy. He's been with the Panthers, been with the Cowboys. You would assume he has the early edge at least coming in. But Herzlich has an opportunity to really make an impact in this camp. I think last year, a lot of people thought maybe that would be his year. Maybe he would push out Chase Blackburn. Blackburn obviously secured the job. This season, I think it's a little bit more open. Now, Herzlich has had a couple of years now under his belt. He's been acclimated with the team, knows the system, very aggressive, looked good in OTAs and minicamp. They're probably going to balance out the playing time during the course of the preseason games, and don't read into too much who starts day one as opposed to who starts in the latter stages of the preseason, because it's very unpredictable. And also the Giants like to evaluate throughout the course of a couple of weeks. Just because one guy starts the first preseason game, that doesn't necessarily mean he has the early edge. It's really going to be who is going to be more consistent over the course of these next couple of weeks, and also who's going to be able to stay healthy. As I mentioned, it's been a position where a lot of injuries have overshadowed and plagued this group, and that's why the Giants have struggled in terms of finding consistency from that unit. And that also goes for the strong side and the weak side linebackers. Take Jaquan Williams, for example. Now, Williams was supposed to be a huge playmaker last season, showed some bright spots in his rookie campaign. The problem was he got hurt, and that's why they couldn't turn to him consistently. He's a guy that can match the speed of a running back. He can match the speed of a tight end. He gives you tremendous versatility in the defensive front. But when you don't have players like that and you don't have weapons like that, it's very hard to build continuity and consistency from that perspective. So Jaquan Williams, to me, is the one guy out of this linebacker core that stands out to me. And I think it's a guy that can really make his presence felt from day one, and a player that they can move around, especially when they go to some of their sub-packages. So if he's fully healthy, that should help elevate the production from this linebacker group. And then when you look at the strong side, Keith Rivers, you would assume, is going to be the guy that's going to have that job locked up, unless somebody all of a sudden comes out of the Blues and really stuns and shocks everybody. The thing with Rivers, once again, is health. Can Keith Rivers get through an entire 16-game schedule without having to watch from the sidelines? Now, that has been an issue for him since coming out of USC, since he went to the Cincinnati Bengals. Remember, the Giants acquired him. Was considered a steal at that point because they didn't give up a lot for a guy that was a first-round talent, but the problem is he has struggled to stay healthy. So health is obviously the number one factor. And maybe I'm stating the obvious because that goes to be said for the entire team. Now, this has been a team that's battled through injuries, but the key for the Giants throughout the course of training camp is to showcase that depth so that in the event an offensive lineman gets banged up, you have some depth this season. Can James Brewer, for example, be a guy that can show some consistency? Can he sell himself to the coaching staff that in a pinch they can move him around and he can be a reliable option in terms of protecting Eli Manning? You know, that would be one guy to really keep close tabs on when it comes to the offensive line battle. The key battle is going to be between Justin Pugh and David Deal at that right tackle spot. But Kevin Gilbride made it very apparent during the course of OTAs and minicamp. Now, Deal is not necessarily just going to give over that job and hand it over. Now, this is a veteran. Production may have gone down a bit last season, also battled injuries. That was a contributing factor. But don't assume that Justin Pugh is going to come in and be handed the reins day one. Now, Deal's going to make him fight for it. And that's good for the overall team. Because whoever wins the battle, you're going to need a reliable backup. You're going to need a swing tackle. Last season, Sean Locklear was a guy that the Giants relied on week in and week out. And then he got hurt in that Redskins game. But that gave them versatility because Locklear could play multiple positions. And the same could be said for the Brewers and the Jim Cordles of the world. You need players that you can insert at the center spot, that you can insert at the right tackle spot, that you could throw in at the left guard. That, to me, is what stood out about Kevin Booth. Because it made him a very high commodity for the Giants. They didn't have to have him solely play one position. They can move him and match him around. And having that in this day and age is so key and so crucial because injuries can happen in the blink of an eye. And when you have a player that you can, in a pinch, throw in at any position, that really is a huge luxury that many teams do not have throughout the course of this league. And it's beneficial for the Giants with some of the different offensive schemes that they run. Whether it be for a run or a passing play, you want offensive linemen that can move and hustle from left to right or vice versa. Especially when you have a player like David Wilson who is going to assume the starting job this season. A lot of people have called for Kevin Gilbride to add more creativity. Well, maybe David Wilson is the answer. Maybe this is the guy that's going to give them a spark from day one. Certainly showed that last season. How it balances out between the running game and special teams, that remains to be seen. And that's going to be another battle to watch in terms of the special teams. Reuben Randle handled punts for the most part. Remember, Aaron Ross is back in the mix. And Aaron Ross was a player before he left for Jacksonville, had handled punts. David Wilson, the question regarding him is, do you want to wear him out between returning kicks and taking on probably anywhere between 15 to 20 carries a game? He'll have to show the coaching staff during training camp that he can handle that load. If they feel they want to go in another direction and they don't want to wear him out over the course of a 16-game stretch, then they're going to have to look for other options. And that's where maybe a Jarrell Jernigan or another player that may have not made a name for himself in prior seasons can all of a sudden have an impact on this team. I think the special teams came a long way last season, specifically from the kicking perspective. And David Wilson was a big reason why. They're still looking for more consistency regarding returning punts. And Reuben Randle may be their long-term answer. Remember, last year was his first year, still digesting the playbook, still becoming acclimated to the NFL. This season could be somewhat of a breakout year. Now, sometimes it's mainly third or fourth year for receivers, but maybe this is it. You know, maybe he shows it on special teams, and maybe he shows it with some three wide receiver sets. He's going to have to battle Lewis Murphy, in regard to that. But remember, Victor Cruz, Hakeem Nicks, you can't take for granted that they're going to be out there for all 16 games. And that was evident last season when Nicks got hurt and he wasn't healthy. As a result, they needed to turn to another option. Had Randall shown a little bit more consistency last year, that could have been a guy. This year, now they have a lot more depth, assuming everybody's healthy. So you have the linebacker spot, you have special teams, the corner situation is another one to keep close tabs on as we approach training camp. Webster and Amukamara considered to be the inline starters, but you still have Hosley, you still have Ross, and Terrell Thomas. How healthy is he going to be? How productive will he be? Will he be a safety? Will he be a corner? Will he be a combination of both? The depth is there this season. That's what stands out to me more so than in seasons prior. And that should be a huge benefit for this Giants team moving forward. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. You can also chime in on the conversation on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. You can follow and interact with me at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. Let's open up the lines. We start with Shakes in Long Island. Shakes, what's happening? Welcome to the program.
What's going on? Shout from Long Island.
What's going
Baltimore.
On, Shakes? What you got?
Well, you said a lot of intriguing things, and I started to think about it, and wow, like, if you really think about it, every position, we got intriguing position battles. Like, every position. Quarterback, we got the backup, who's going to be the backup. Running backs, you know, fullback, is he going to be healthy? We got to bring, you know, is Bear going to hold it down, or we got to bring in somebody else? Wide receivers, tight ends, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, linebackers, corners. I mean, all three, we got positions, even kickers.
That's right.
Oh, even kickers. So this is good. This is good. So it's very intriguing to keep up with mini camp and preseason, because it's gonna be a little doozy to find out who's gonna stay on the team, who's gonna be placed where. So yeah, offensive lineman, though, I want to speak on that real quick. Is I like it because all of our players really are kind of versatile. So if somebody does go down, knock on wood, God forbid, say Kate Booth goes down, Pugh can step in for him, or Cordell could step in, or maybe even Brew. So it's like a lot of versatility with the offensive linemen, and I like it. Now, and to speak on the linebackers, I think Jaquan Williams is gonna do big things this year if he can stay healthy and stay on the field. He's gonna kill. He reminds me of a young Armstead. He does. It was the sideline to sideline. And I think Hursley gonna step up too, but I don't know if he's gonna start. But he's gonna see a lot of snaps.
Opportunity, Shakes, is probably the best way to describe this team heading into training camp. What I mean by that is what you just outlined. There are a lot of jobs up for grabs. The usual suspects are certainly in the mix, but you look top to bottom across the board, you know, there's a lot of intriguing matchups and competitions to keep close tabs on, and that, I think, is overall good for the team. It's a good problem to have when you have multiple options that you could turn to.
It really is, because that means really, you can't go wrong, you know?
Absolutely.
We can't go wrong, you know? Usually, you'll have a little bum, and I'm sorry, but let's just say, what's his name, C.C. Browns of the world, you know?
You're going to rub some Giants fans the wrong way by that name.
I know, I'm trying to tell you, he was terrible. So that's what I'm saying. We usually, teams have players like that. Us? We're not going to have that this year. We're not going to have that this year. If you're a C.C. Brown, you will not make this team. You will not make it. And that's beautiful.
Absolutely.
That is a beautiful thing. Thanks for taking my call, man. I'll talk to you tomorrow, man. And it's good to hear your voice again, man. I like Paulie D, but you the man.
All right, Shakes, thanks so much for weighing in. Greatly appreciate it. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Yes, my sincere apologies for having to put up with Paul Dottino last week. I joke. I'm a big fan of Paul Dottino. I'm sure he's out there running laps right now in preparation for training camp. If you pass by Route 3 and you see a small figure running around MetLife Stadium, I'm just giving you a heads up. You know who that is. That is Paul Dottino getting in shape for the grind of training camp. You think the players work hard? You think they're going to be sweating, putting on the pads and the shoulder pads and the knees and everything? No. Then there's Paul Dottino. Paul Dottino puts in just as much time and dedication as these players do. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. You can also chime in on the conversation on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. Let's head back to the lines. We've got Russell in Kentucky. Russell, what's happening? Welcome to the program.
Man, what's going on? I ain't spoke to you in a minute, man. I'm about to deploy.
Well, listen, I thank you for your service, Russell. Greatly appreciate that.
Yeah, I've been trying to call you, but, you know, I've been busy doing the military thing. Did you see Ron, I can't even say it, Taurasi's quarterback rating? I almost threw my television outside.
What happened?
How dare this man rate Eli as number 8 and Joe Flacco as number 4? Negative.
You know,
Eli is top 5 quarterback. Because you named the best quarterbacks in the league, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Eli beat both of them.
You have to understand, Russell, I'm not a big fan of rankings. Let me put that forth just because, to me, I think it's quite ridiculous. I think as long as your quarterback puts your team in a winning position and wins Super Bowls, I think that speaks for itself. Ron Jaworski, obviously, he's been around the league for quite some time. They need some programming to fill, if you get my drift. So they're going to try to stretch this out. I wouldn't get so riled up in it, at least at this point. Listen, Eli Manning, he's been underrated. He's been overlooked ever since he's come into this league. And you know what, Russell? At the end of the day, what has he done each and every season? He's quieted the skeptics time and time again. I think that's the only thing for you as a Giants fan to be overly concerned about. I would not put too much stock in this ranking or this ranking. At the end of the day, it's all subjective because it's in the eyes of the beholder. You and I can think differently in terms of how we'd rank the various quarterbacks. Eli Manning is in a very good position in the league, and he's in a very strong standing with the Giants. I think that's the only thing to really be overly concerned about.
And you know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. Like, I've been hearing, like, lately I've been hearing what's going on with your state. I'm always tuning in. I just can't call because I'm busy doing the military stuff. We're about to deploy. And I looked at this, and I hear some calls coming. Y'all talk about David Wilson. David Wilson is going to have a big year. But the one person y'all never talk about is that tight end, the guy from the Raiders.
Yeah.
That guy is going to have a lot of touchdowns. Cause Eli, I mean, Jeremy Shockey was good. Bennett, I really didn't like Bennett. He came from the Cowboys. Cowboys are losers. Anything, you know, I just don't like Cowboys. Anything with a Cowboy in it, used to play for. I'm kind of like, okay, you played for Jerry Jones. And when the last time y'all went to the playoffs? Or even won a Super Bowl? Okay. So I think Myers is going to, besides Victor Cruz, I think Myers is going to have a big year this year. And I think Eli is going to do it again. I think the Giants are going to go to the Super Bowl. And I'm saying this now, because everybody's doubting him, and this is what Eli does. He's going to crush the whole league, RG3, everybody. He's going to show and prove. I think it's going to be a man of bowl this year. That's what I got a feeling. Eli versus Peyton for the Super Bowl.
All right, Russell. Listen, thanks so much for the phone call, and once again, thank you for your service. Be safe wherever you are going to be deployed. Certainly appreciate you weighing in here this morning on Big Blue Kickoff. Lance Meadow with you, 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, on Twitter at Lance Meadow and hashtag Giants Chat. We'll certainly get to some comments and questions on Twitter in the remaining moments, but I want to continue to work the phones. And real quickly before I go back to the lines, I thought Russell brought up a great point in Brandon Myers, who I thought was a great signing for the Giants after the fact that they lost Martellus Bennett to the Bears. Myers, remember, caught over 70 passes from Carson Palmer last year as a Raider. And the Raiders' offense had its fair share of issues due to the injury to Darren McFadden. You bring him now in the mix when you know you already have Akiem Nicks, you have Victor Cruz, and you have plenty of depth at the receiver spot. Now, Brandon Myers is the type of guy that can run those underneath routes. He can also stretch the field, but he is going to be a real nice safety valve and a security blanket for Eli Manning. You know, Bennett got hot early, if you remember, had that 3-game stretch with a touchdown in each contest, then faded a bit because of the hyperextended knee injury, then had a very strong finish. Myers stays healthy. There is going to be a very strong, promising role for him in this offense. He's an experienced guy. He's proven that he can put up big numbers. obviously has a lot more weapons that he's going to be playing alongside here with the Giants, but that's a good thing. You know, who was drawing attention away from Brandon Myers when he was putting on an Oakland uniform? Now look at who he's playing alongside with the Giants and who's drawing attention. You know, the corners and the safeties in this league, they're going to have headaches enough worrying about Akiem Nicks and Victor Cruz. And Reuben Randle and Lewis Murphy, if you throw in a three wide receiver set. And I haven't even mentioned David Wilson in the backfield. Now you add Brandon Myers into the mix, he is going to have some favorable matchups. And if he can take advantage of those matchups with a linebacker, that is going to be a guy that could put up some nice quality numbers. And if you're a fantasy diehard, that may be a guy who may go in the late rounds or you want to take a chance on that could put up some big numbers. Martellus Bennett even was reliable last year in the fantasy world. Brandon Myers could be a guy to watch out for if you miss out on a top five tight end in this league, because he's going to be a guy that's going to put up the reception numbers. And he's going to be another focal point of this Giants offense. You look at Eli Manning and how he's tried to rely on tight ends. You know, that's not a position that he overlooks. Jake Ballard, some big plays during his time. Martellus Bennett last year, some big plays. I look for the same, if not more, from a guy like Brandon Myers. I thought he showed some tremendous versatility in his days in Oakland. And that's also been a team that's had tremendous turnover in the tight end spot. 201-939-4513. Let's head back to the lines. We've got Frank in New York City. Frank, welcome to the program. What you got?
Hey, Lance. Good morning.
How you doing, Frank? What you got?
Good, good. So, yeah, really excited for training camp on Saturday. Looking forward to it. I think you said it in the opening monologue. It's good that you could have go into training camp, and I said this last week, too. It's good when you go into training camp. The Cruz contract is besides us. There's no holdouts, nothing looming, no bad news looming over us right now. And it's going to be fun to watch the position battles and who wins the linebacker, who wins the slot corner. It's going to be a very intriguing training camp. And I said, I can't remember the last training camp we went into where there hasn't been we lost Steve Smith a couple of years ago and everybody panicked and who's going to be the third receiver, who's going to be the new slot receiver. So I'm really looking forward to training camp. My question to you is, what position battle do you think is the most intriguing coming up this training camp?
Well, I think I'd have to go with the linebacker spot, Frank, mainly because it's been a position where there's been somewhat of a question mark in seasons prior. I think they've had consistency in some of those other position battles that we threw out earlier in the show. But the linebacker spot, given specifically, Frank, their trouble with stopping the run the last couple of seasons, that's a position where you need to have a security blanket. And I don't think anyone has distinguished themselves in seasons prior, other than Chase Blackburn in terms of the leadership department. If Jaquan Williams can stay healthy, if Mark Herzlick has a breakout year, or even Dan Connor stays healthy and maps out that position, you know, this could be a position of impact compared to the last couple of years. And I think for the sake of the Giants on the defensive front, they need consistency out of that position, whether it be the strong side, the weak side, or even the middle spot.
Yeah, I agree. I'm looking forward to seeing the linebacking, who wins those battles and who wins the positions there. And you said it, too, about the kickoff. I really don't want David Wilson back there returning punts or kickoffs. As dynamic as he is, we have to remember he's our starting runner. And that's the one position we don't have much depth at going into the training camp right now. So I'm hoping a guy like Randle or a guy even like you said, Jernigan or maybe even a Darrell Scott, one of these guys, you know, steps up and wins that battle, because I think it's too risky to put as dynamic as he is. It's putting Wilson back there. I remember maybe 10 years ago when we decided we were going to make Seahorn return kicks, and then in the preseason he busts up his knee and we lose our starting cornerback, you know?
And there was concern a couple of seasons ago when Aaron Ross returned punts and everybody was getting hurt left or right whether or not they should take him off because he was clearly a starting corner. But Frank, let me throw this out to you. If David Wilson, though, at the end of the day, to you is the most reliable and most dynamic player in terms of returning kicks, are you willing to sacrifice that because of the fact that he's the starting running back? Or do you roll the dice? At the end of training camp, what I mean, if he is the most reliable option, the only option, regardless of the depth, do you still say take him out of the mix and go with somebody who maybe is not nearly as explosive?
No, it's a tough, tough question. And I think it's all up to Tom Coughlin, really. I mean, I would almost say if the preseason, the guys look shaky and they're fumbling. They're not calling fair catches when they should and bringing it back when they should be taking a knee on it. I think it's all going to depend on the season, maybe based on the game-by-game situation and what we need as far as field positioning goes. I do remember that one game early in the season against Philly. He was a difference maker in that game. We actually should have won that game. I know with the Eli down the sideline of Barden, but David Wilson was, in my opinion, the MVP of that game. He was such a factor in that game, and I do think it's a tough question because you're right, he's dynamic, and he could bring back a punt return or a kick any point for a touchdown. We haven't had that since maybe a Dave Meggett. I mean, it's been a long time since we had someone back there, but I think almost game by game, it's gonna have to determine where we stand in the game. You know, if we're up by 20 points, 21 points, let's not have him back there returning kicks, you know?
Absolutely. Listen, Frank, thanks so much for weighing in this morning. Greatly appreciate the call. Have
thanks,
a good one.
Lance.
You got it. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. You can also chime into the conversation on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. Follow and interact with me at Lance Meadow, last name Medow. Let's go to Twitter. My good friend Mike Farmer at mfarmer20 says, defensive tackle is the battle to watch this camp. So many guys there between Rogers, Patterson, Jenkins, Joseph Kuhn, it is wide open. Certainly a good point there by Mike. We have not talked about the defensive tackle spots. And by the way, I will be back tomorrow, so whatever we don't tackle today, we certainly can bring to the table tomorrow in terms of all of these intriguing position battles to watch. But Mike brings up a very good point. There is a lot of depth also at the defensive tackle spot. Canty no longer in the picture. He is now with the Baltimore Ravens. You have Linville Joseph. Marcus Kuhn is a player that really was a bright spot in terms of his first season here. Unfortunately, tore his ACL, was not an option down the stretch. If he can prove that he's back to full force, may become a reliable option. They also went the route of adding some depth in terms of veterans. Colin Jenkins, how about the versatility from him? Don't be surprised if they use him at defensive end a bit as well. He's been moved around with his days with the Packers and with his days with the Eagles. That's another good option to have. Jonathan Hankins, their rookie, can he catch on to the system nice and early? Marvin Austin, this is a show-me year for Marvin Austin. Austin's been around. Remember, he was hurt his rookie year because of the torn pectoral muscle. Did not see much action last year because of injuries, playbook issues. You know, is this going to be his year? Remember, he was a promising prospect coming out of North Carolina. This, to me, is a show-me year for Marvin Austin. This has got to be a training camp where he moves bodies and he sells the coaching staff. Because of the depth of defensive tackle, as many of you voiced on the lines, you know, this is a season where, forget the first and the second guy on the depth chart, there's going to be intense battles between the third and the fourth guy in terms of how this depth chart plays out. And like I said, that's an exciting fact to keep in mind, and that is good for the overall well-being of the team. They've got tons of defensive tackles, and these are no rookies, by the way. I mentioned a couple of young prospects, but the Mike Pattersons of the world, you know, they've been here, they've done that in the league. The Colin Jenkins of the world, been there, they've done that. So this is going to be a time, Sean Rogers, another guy I'll throw out there, where we may know the first two guys up there on the line that Perry Fuel is going to use to start. But the difference between the fourth and the fifth guy may be so close that it could come down to the final preseason game and who stops the run and who gets to the quarterback better to determine who's going to get a final spot on the roster here. You could look at the offensive line that way. You could look at the linebacker spot that way. A good overall problem to have. Trust me. Compared to what they've gone through in prior seasons and what other teams are dealing with, it is a good situation to have a lot of different weapons that you can turn to at various positions, specifically on the defensive side. Let's try to close out the program with a couple more of your calls, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Randy in Texas. Randy, welcome to the program. What's happening?
Hey, good morning, Lance. I'd like to talk about the depth on our team, which I really like that because it breeds competition, which I call it real life. In life, you're always going to have to compete. I think it'll bring out the best in our players. Not only do they have to compete to make the team, but they have to compete to get a uniform on Sunday. which I think it'll bring the best out of our players, and we can figure out who should get a uniform and who's going to make this team. And also, I read an article recently about our linebacker crew that might be the worst in the NFL. I totally disagree. I'm really excited about our linebackers. I think they have a lot to prove. We got some guys over there that need to prove that they can play the game. Kerry and this other gentleman that we had last year, they need to prove that they can play the game, Rivers. And I think Herzlick will step up as a middle linebacker. He has Connors right there to push him. And, of course, Williams we expect to be a star. So I think our guys over there are going to compete. We're going to get the best out of them, and they're going to show that they can play this game.
All right, Randy, thanks so much for the phone call. Greatly appreciate it. And I agree, there's a lot of depth at that linebacker spot. Don't read into too many rankings that you see online. Remember, it's all subjective, and these guys haven't even put the pads on yet. So in terms of where the Giants linebacker core is ranked compared to the rest of the league, there's a lot of weeks and a lot of months ahead to determine where they really will stand and where they could very well make an impact. Let's close out the show with one more call. We've got Gerson in California. Gerson, welcome to the program. What you got?
Good morning.
How you doing, Gerson?
Doing well. Welcome back.
Thank you. Appreciate that. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, I want to talk a little bit about the depth on the linebacker and on the safety. Also, I was going to ask you, right now we have Muddy. Is it Muddy or Muddy?
No, you're right. It's Ryan Mundy. He came over from the Steelers.
Mundy. Right. So is it going to be who's going to be battling for that position between him as well?
Well, you have the rookie, Cooper Taylor, who's also certainly in the mix in terms of the safety spot. Your usual suspects are back in the mix. Terrell Thomas is another option that maybe he can emerge. Can he stay healthy? Will they use him at corner? Will they use him at safety? I think he's a wild card depending on whether or not he can last the duration of training camp. So that would certainly be another player to watch. But Cooper Taylor is a guy that they invested a lot in terms of finding promise in him and stopping the run and also dropping back in the secondary. So I think he's a guy that can make an impact come training camp. And Mundy certainly is a veteran presence. So there's going to be a lot of competition at the safety spot, just as there was in terms of the linebackers and the defensive front. Another good position battle to keep close tabs on during the course of training camp.
Now, what would you say, would our defense improve from last year if our front will hold?
Well, absolutely. I mean, stopping the run was an issue last season. I think that if they get more consistency and more pressure on the quarterback, it goes hand in hand. If the sacks go up this season, you're going to help the secondary improve. And if the secondary improves, you're going to have more time to get to the quarterback. So that's probably priority number one entering the season. Keep in mind, Jason Pierre-Paul, Justin Tuck, O.C. Umanure, the numbers dipped. That was no secret. They also had trouble stopping the run. If they can shore up both of those things, there's no reason to assume that the Giants can improve from a defensive standpoint. I think that that is certainly the goal of the front office and the coaching staff, that they are going to be a better overall defensive unit, and that should help them battle in the NFC East, because you know they have a lot of top-notch running backs, specifically the Cowboys and the Eagles. They've upgraded those fronts this season.
And about how many sacks do you think he was going to get this year?
Well, I think that if they move him back to his normal spot and he feels comfortable, there's no reason to think that Mathias Kiwanuka can't help bolster the pass rush. I mean, in terms of throwing a number at you, remember, don't invest so much time in sack totals. The quarterback hits are more important than the sack totals. If they're getting to the quarterback and they're putting him on the ground or they're flustering the passes, that's what's important at the end of the day. It's not so much did he fully register a sack. Are they getting to the quarterback? Are they disrupting the pass? That's the number to keep close tabs on, more so than whether or not each individual on this team is getting double digits in sacks. All right, Gerson,
gotcha.
Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in this morning. All right, that'll wrap things up here on Big Blue Kickoff this morning. Greatly appreciate the calls. Continue to chime in on the conversation on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. I'll be back tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern as well. We'll continue to delve into all of the battles throughout the course of training camp. Want to continue to hear your thoughts. A lot of excitement surrounding this team. There's going to be a lot of battles, not necessarily for the starters, but who's going to be third and fourth on the respective depth charts. Lance Metal closing things out here on Giants.com. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a good one.